Tiff for the first time. I see a couple of faces I don't know. Good morning. Good morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Barent. I'm one of the leaders here in Melkbos that that lead what God, we believe God wants us to do. And so this morning, if you are here and you're visiting us, we just want to say welcome. Just already, I hope you didn't feel pressured to do anything you didn't want to do. But we love Jesus, man. We want to follow him. We want our lives to count for him. So if you're visiting this morning, if you need the bathroom at any point, it's through that door, turn right. You get to a T-junction, turn right again. And you'll find the bathrooms, the guys first and then the ladies. And visitors, I really do pray for you this morning. I say this every Sunday. And I actually mean it every Sunday. It's not by chance that you are here this morning. God is working in your life. And even for us that's been here for 18 years, God is here this morning. What does God want to do in your heart? We don't just come to hear a preach, to sing a song, have a pancake, and go home. We're here because God is here. And if you didn't pick up your pancakes, apparently there's some pancakes on the go. If you didn't pick them up, good. I'll eat them afterwards. So, but we are family, man. So this morning, just I love to just share a couple of things that I feel the Lord wanting is doing in us and through us. And where's Anne-Marie and Sabot? Don't you guys want to come up quickly? So this beautiful couple, they, if you look at them, there's one of them that looks a little bit different to the other one. I'm not going to say who. You make up your own mind. Someone comes from another country. Someone doesn't. This beautiful couple. And honestly, God is so on this couple's life. It's been an absolute privilege to see what God's busy doing. And this, for me, what they're doing now is part of how we learn the ways of God, how we are discipled, how we walk in what God wants us to walk, by faith. Who knows how you spell faith? How do you spell faith? Close. R-I-S-K. That's how you spell faith. Who's risked with God? Who's stepped out in faith and gone, Lord, this is crazy, but I'm going to trust you. There's many of us here that have trusted God for the impossible, and that's risk. And this couple, they're actually breaking something open over us of trusting God, of faithing, of risking with the Lord. So they're going to India for 3 months. So if you haven't heard of Delhi Belly, so he can tell you what Delhi Belly is. But I want to pray for them this morning. And you know what the Bible says, and this is something we've got to learn. Because Jesus, even Paul, all the disciples, none of them ever went just out of their own accord. They didn't just go, hey, I heard God, I'm going. If you read your word, if you read the Bible, every single person was sent. Even Jesus was sent to the earth. And this morning, we as a congregation, we want to send them to go to India for 3 months. And who knows what that looks like? Who knows what God's going to be doing in their lives? They came, how they did it. They came, they felt the Lord stir in their heart. They brought it to a couple of us as elders and said, this is what we believe God wants us to do. And then we said, well, it feels right in the Lord. If you've got faith for it, how do we stand with you? And then at the same time, I said, so what are the practical implications? Got your own business. You've got a house that they're renting. And every step of the way, God provided. Someone looking after the business. Someone moving into their home for 3 months. Looking after, paying rent. And it's beautiful. You see, if we follow God, if we follow God, and if we follow his ways, he looks after us. But so often we want to boycott those things. So often we want to just do our own thing. And this is the way of the Lord. This is God's ways. That he will use us into the nations. Because he said, ask and I will give you the nations. So this morning, we want to pray for them. I think this is the best one I've done ever about praying for someone going out. But do you feel the weightiness of it? And you know what this boils down to? Our lives are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We die to ourselves, and we die to what we're wanting to do. And we say, Jesus, I want to live for you, whatever that looks like, even if I have to leave my country or leave my home. So I want to ask, if you know them, don't you want to come out? Let's stand around them. Let's come around them this morning. We want to pray for them. Jock, I'm going to ask you, it's one of the deacons in the house and just walking a road with this beautiful couple. Don't you want to pray a blessing over them as they go? And I want to ask us, let's stand, let's reach out our hands and do this by faith even as we pray for them. Say, God, will you use them mightily? Who knows what God's going to do in and through their lives as they go?
Anne-Marie, Sabot, Anne-Marie, you bowled me a little bit with that tear that's dropping there. Anne-Marie, you're like a daughter in our house. And the first time when she started talking about this guy from India, we were like, hey, we're watching you. I've got my eyes. This is my daughter. And the day when we met you, it's like, this is the sort of guy, when I want to say thank you, Lord, for this godly man that's looking after my daughter. Guys, I really want to bless you. I really want to pray for your journey. And it's such a privilege for us to have the two of you in our house, in this congregation, for all of your input, for what you brought into our lives, what we've learned from you. What a privilege for us. Lord, we want to send, I don't know if it's the right, but a troop of angels, if there's such a thing. Send a lot of angels with them. Bless them. Guide them. We really, from day one, when this conversation started, thank you so much for all your guidance. Thank you so much, Lord, for all your things that fell in place. The excitement was there from day one. So for them to go and meet the family in India, what a privilege. And I know Sabot, I said to him that when this conversation started, there was a lot of, from Anne-Marie, typically the organizing, and but what about this and what about that? And Sabot, I can just saw that proudness, just that I'm going to show my wife to the world, to my family. And Lord, be with them on this journey. Be with them for this 3 months. Give them fruit. Help them with the beautiful foundations that they got, for the fruit that they will show there. Be with them. Protect them. Guide them. Bring them safely back for us. And I really just see this word of a journey. The journey for you ahead, guys, is such a wonderful journey. We're proud of you. We love you. Be with you and enjoy your journey. Thank you, Lord, so much for these wonderful two people. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So over the last couple of weeks, I think for you that have been here in the congregation and seeing what God has been doing, if you're visiting us this morning, God's been taking us on a journey. God's been taking us on a journey of showing us how to build His house, how to follow the Holy Spirit, how to be in step of the Holy Spirit, how to not just do the things that we like to do. And it's so easily, you know, so easily as human beings that we fall into patterns. Who's realized that in their lives? That you fall into a rhythm or a pattern that so easily, it's like, I often use this example where it's like, okay, nowadays we're not allowed to drive on the beach anymore. But I remember as a kid driving on the beach, and if there's been a couple of 4x4s on the beach before us, there's these two grooves that has been formed onto the beach and into the sand. And as you drive with a bucky or whatever it is, the front wheels, they just naturally want to like go into those grooves. Who's experienced that? Who's been on the beach? Does it make, you know? And I think sometimes our lives are like that. We fall into patterns, into grooves, into the way of life that's actually not always the Lord. But God's been actually shifting us. And can I be honest with you guys? I have to. It's the church. Freaks me out, man. It's scary. It's scary coming to church at the moment for me. Honestly. Steph said it this morning. I said, Steph, what are you feeling for with God? He goes, the fear of the Lord. I'm like, that's me too. I'm fearing every time I come. Not fear of God like he's this big guy sitting in the heavens and with this massive stick and going to hit me on the head if I do something wrong. Not that kind of fear. But I want to please him in everything that I do, man. And I don't want to just come and do my own thing because I know that every single one of you belongs to him. And as elders, we come and we go like, Lord, what do you want to do? So I come on a Sunday, I go like, Lord, what do you want to do? And even this morning, this week, God has been preparing my heart for this morning. And, you know, we want to build a place. We want to build a house where God feels welcome. Where we can attract the presence of God. I'm never going to build something, and we as elders are never going to build something that it's attractive to people. That's a scary thing, eh? Because so many churches out there builds in a way where smokes, lights, cameras, action, movies. I don't care. God doesn't care about those things. I want to build a place where the presence of God is and where God's presence dwells. And God's been taking us on a journey this last 5 weeks of showing us different ways. Who's this last couple of weeks come to church and go, that's different. That's different. Okay? Who's walked out of here going, that was amazing. That was insane. God, you moved. God, you shifted my heart. I'm different than what I was when I walked in here. And I feel as we've been doing discipleship, John and Krista doing an incredible job of just working through marriages and then looking at raising our kids. God is busy discipling us in the ways of how he wants us to live our lives. And carrying on that, God is taking Sundays to go, look at what I'm doing. It's almost like remembering every Sunday and meeting him and going, okay, God, we're here not for a quick welcome, a preach, a worship, and go. And Sundays here for me is I want to stir you so that as you walk out of this place, you start living the way Jesus wants you to live. Hey, that's what it's about, man. It is about Sundays, but it's not about coming to church. Wiz, ooh, come share that dream. Sorry, that was the Lord. I feel this isn't, yeah, share this dream quickly.
Last night I had a dream. Someone came to me and said, do you, Josh Jenners, just go through a list that you just tick off? And you just come in on a Sunday just to tick it off of your list, and you go to Calm just to tick it off and just fill your little boxes that you have in mind.
That's a dream. And what does the Bible say? In the end times, who will dream dreams? The old men. Okay, she's an old lady in the faith. No, but she is. She is. It's not maturity doesn't, it's not about age. It's not about age. Being mature in Christ is not about your age. It's about giving yourself completely. And that's a young woman that you can actually follow. Are we just ticking off boxes? Are you just going, I'm here this morning because I want to tick a box. I want to appease something in my heart. And I want to say, if that's why you came, I trust God this morning would show you how much he loves you and how much he, and what the plan and the purpose and the destiny he has for you. This week we had a, let me do this. So years ago, how many years? I think it's about 15 years. My wife's like, what are you talking about? What are you going to say? How many years? But I think it's about 15 years ago, 15, 16 years ago. I was a deacon here in Melkbos, and the Lord disciplined me. The Lord disciplined me. That I stood up publicly and confessed of being a thief and a liar I was that guy on the cross, you know, the thief and the liar. And deep down, you know what the whole thing was in my heart? It was self-preservation. Who's heard of self-preservation? Who knows what that is? I didn't know what that is, but I was doing it all the time. Self-preservation is this, that you do things so that people think you're cool. I do things and I show people that, and I will lie, I will scheme, I will devise a plan, I will create something. You know, if you're a psychologist, you see those people probably all the time. They're like trying to make a way to look good, but actually your life is falling apart. That was me. I was that. And it came out of brokenness, and it came out of years of things that I did. But I remember when that happened to me, and it was the toughest time of my life. I remember my wife sitting, and I hurt her so much, and I had to like sit with her and talk this through, because through that I lost my job. I got fired. And I got disciplined. And if it wasn't for people in my life like Ivan, who immediately drew close to me, and I remember Ivan in that time said to me, "Bori, just stand." And I remember in that time, I realized, if I do not die to myself, if I don't die, I will die for eternity. Yes, it was a wake-up call for me, 15, 16 years ago now. And God started the process in me after being prophesied over that I will lead a church, I will do all these things. 15 years later, that started. But God had to take me through a process of dying. And do you know Jesus? How did he learn obedience? Do you ever wonder? How did Jesus learn obedience? I want to put it up quickly. Hebrews 5, verse 8 to 9. Can you put that up? And this is, it says about Jesus. It says, although he was a son, he was the Son of God, he learned obedience through what he suffered. That is one of the scariest scriptures I think I've read in a long time. Who likes that scripture? Okay. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. What did he suffer? He did. He suffered rejection. He suffered people putting, but most of all, he suffered for going to the cross. You know that Jesus at one point didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't want to go. He realized what he was going to do. But through the suffering, he learned obedience. And then, as it said, we can learn and we have eternal salvation if we obey him. And I remember, and I know that that was the thing. If it wasn't for that moment in my life where I realized, God, I need to die, how do I then obey you? Does that make sense? And I felt this week as I was just thinking about us as a congregation and praying for us, and as elders we met on Tuesday night just praying and finding God, Lord, what are you doing? And it's like, okay, God, we want to be careful to follow you. That happened. Wednesday was a nice public holiday. Thursday, I prepared a message for us around discipleship. And as we got to the hall, I realized in the discipleship time that there were many of us not there. And my heart was like, oh, Lord, it's not for my sake, please. I'm like not the best preacher and teacher. But I realized so many people are missing out what God wants them to do. And you know what? There was one guy, two people actually. One was a brand new, someone that not here this morning because they're flying to Portugal. He messaged me and said, "Bro, I'd love to be there tonight, but I can't. It's our last night with our family." And then there was another guy, Nathan. I'm going to just use Nathan as an example. He's fine. He's an example. He phoned me. He's like, "Bori, I had a crazy week. I had a crazy time. My life is like, you know, what do you, and I'm, it's like, do you want me there tonight?" I'm like, "Bro, whatever you feel. Like, what does God want you to do?" I can't even remember how I said it, but I knew in my heart I was going, "Oh, Nate, I think this is a test for you." And I'm going, and again, God uses everything as a test. And I do want to say, if you weren't there on Thursday night, please don't feel guilty. Okay? If you should have been there, repent quickly, ask the Lord, because it's not about me, it's about what God wants you to do. But Nathan came and he said to me, and he actually came and dropped off the keys, and I looked at him and I could see the wrestle in his heart. And I said, Nate, go home. Well, if I see you, great. If I don't, it's up, you know. Like, we can't lord it over anybody's faith. As elders, we can't tell you what to do. We'd like you to do certain things. Okay. But what he then did, he rocked up on Thursday night. But as I was thinking about Thursday night, and it's an example for me of someone going, it's not my life. And the Lord reminded me of when Josh Jen was started, our whole thing was dying to live. Who's heard that? Who's heard that? Do you know that the Bible speaks about us dying? And look, just remember this morning the prayers and the Psalms that has been read. And I want to read a couple of scriptures for us where Jesus talks about dying to live, where he comes and he says, I want you to die so that you can live. The only way that we can live properly is if we die. Who's nervous? I am. Okay? So here we go. I'm not going to be long. I want to quickly just run through a couple of scriptures. And I feel this morning, so see what God has been weaving the whole morning from the prayers. And it wasn't planned. That's why I'm going, Lord, you are here this morning. You want to do something in our hearts. So I want to put up firstly Luke 9, verse 23 to 25. Is the piano distracting for you guys? Jackson. Your family. Sometimes there's just something on someone's life, man. So again, I want to say we're not trying to manipulate with that. Because it can so easily come across. But there's something of the presence of God here while Ilse is playing. Maybe it's because she's pregnant. No, it's not. It's because she loves Jesus. Okay, Luke 9, verse 23 to 20 to 25. Jesus writes and he says, and he said to all of them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? That's a scary scripture, man. I want to read that part again. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It doesn't talk about a Sunday. It doesn't talk about just, hey, I'm picking up my cross and following Jesus on a Sunday, coming to church or Wednesday, ticking the boxes. Daily. Daily deny yourself. What does it look like to deny yourself? Who's denied themselves something this week? Good. Good. I did. Somewhere, maybe it's a ball one. Who denied themselves a ball one this week? There we go, Ivan. Yeah? I need to deny a couple of more ball ones. But to bring it back, who's denied? Have you denied yourself? Have you picked up your cross? What does that mean to pick up your cross? Remember, what did Jesus learn obedience through? Suffering, the cross. So unless we die, unless we deny ourselves, unless we lay down our desires, our passions, the things that we want, I don't think we can follow Jesus. And we want to follow Jesus, am I right? We want to follow him. We want to follow his ways. But unless we do it daily, every single day, your prayer should be, God, I'm opening my eyes. Thank you, Jesus, that I opened my eyes this morning. I would rather be with you because it's way better to be with you in heaven than on earth. But I'm here on earth today. So Holy Spirit, come fill me up. Because the Bible speaks about being filled up. And then, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? How do I follow you? I'm going to work, God. I'm going to school. I'm going to into a weekend. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? Who do you want me to talk to? Because I don't live anymore. James, come here quickly. Okay, so James, Don't you just want to lie on the floor? Play dead. Play dead. Okay, there we go. Okay, so James is dead. Okay, so firstly, a dead person, do they get offended if you kick them? Okay, do they get offended if you scream at them? If you shout at them? If you, whatever you do, do they get offended? Do they have an opinion? Ooh. Do they decide what they want to do now? So baptisms, and we're going to have a couple of baptisms this morning. There's some people getting baptized. Afterwards, at the NSRI, there's people going to baptize. Come and witness someone dying. Stay there. Stay dead. Stay dead. This might become our new motto. Remember my send it preach? This must be our new motto. Stay dead. We're going to have t-shirts printed on stay dead. Okay. But why? Remember, why? Unless you lose your life. Unless you lose your life. Unless you deny yourself. You cannot live. So we're going to have a couple of baptisms. And baptism is this picture of us dying to ourselves. Because Jesus has come into my life. He's made me new. He took away my sin. He took away everything of me. And he says, it's no longer you that live, but it's me that live within you. So as we die to ourselves, Jesus comes into us, the Bible speaks about. Remember I was talking about abiding in Christ? First, Jesus comes in into us. And it's we become alive. Our spirit's alive. Our soul's alive. Everything, we become alive. And as we stand up, as we're getting raised into life, so I'm glad he's taller than me. Jesus is in us. Just answer. There we go. Whoa, so that was nice. Stand still. Stand still. Keep on dying. Keep on dying. That's another one. We not keep on swimming like Dory. Keep on dying. Keep on dying. Okay. But this is what it's like. Jesus is in us, and we are in him. So now, how do we live our lives? This is what Jesus says. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. I don't choose what I want to do anymore. I don't decide anymore. Honey, can you wash the dishes? I really don't want to wash the dishes. But how can I serve you better as a husband? How can I love you better as a husband? How can I lay my life down for you as a husband? Of course I'll wash the dishes. Of course I will. Because it's no longer I that live. It's Christ that lives in me. And I love my wife. Do I wash the dishes sometimes? Thank you, Lord Jesus. I said sometimes. Now and again. I don't always. Take out the garbage. You get what I'm saying? Thanks. Thanks. That was good. It's an ongoing choice. It's a daily choice we make to die. It's a daily choice that we pick up our cross and we follow Jesus. It's a daily choice. Daily, daily, daily. God, but what about my finances? You don't understand, Lord, where I am. Of course God understands. Of course he knows. God, what about, you don't understand my marriage, Lord. Like, this and this has happened. Of course he knows. But how do we die? How do we trust him in those moments to come through? I'm going to read another scripture for us. John 12, verse 24 to 26. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life will lose it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Who loves their life? And then it goes on. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Remember what James just did? He must follow me. If you want to serve God, you got to follow him. How do you follow him? You want to know? Here it is. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. You want to serve Jesus? Find out where he is. Where is he? Where is he in your marriage? Where is he with your kids? Where is he with your work? Where is he with what he's laid on your heart? Find him. You know what happens with us? God asks us to do something scary by faith, and we just back it down. And we, this is too hard. God, I can't do that. I can't go to community every Wednesday. God, I can't, this is too much. And what happens is we stop following Jesus. But you know what Jesus does? He waits there for us. A couple of months back, we used this line. We said, what is the last thing the Lord asked you to do? Obey him. Find him. Where is Jesus in your life right now? Where is he right now? Where you know that as I follow him and as I find him again, God, I'm denying myself certain things and I'm dying to what he wants, what I want him to do. But God, I'm becoming alive in you and I'm coming and I'm following you. I'm obedient. I'm learning through my suffering how to obey you, God, because I want to obey you with everything. Matthew 28 verse 19, teaching everyone how to obey better. That was what Thursday night was about. How do we obey better? How do we become disciples of Jesus? It's our old life. Get rid of your old life. I want to say, if you're Christian, if you're giving your heart to Jesus, get rid of the things that hold you back. It might be big things like, everything is big. It might be visible things like smoking, like sleeping around, like swearing, like debauchery. Remember the Timothy message? Like, do you love your life more? Do you love money? All those things that we can see. But then it goes to our hearts. How do we get rid of that? Selfish ambition. Selfishness. You want to get rid of selfishness? Chart, get married. Okay. Sorry, he's not selfish. He's a beautiful man. But you know, married couples, how did you learn not to be selfish anymore? You got married, eh? Then have kids, and then you'll see how your selfishness goes out the window. I learned through my suffering how to not be... Yeah, and that's it. We learn to die. Unless a kernel of wheat dies, it remains alone. You will forever remain alone if you don't die. But God puts the lonely into family. In family, we learn how to die. In families, we surrender. In family, we let go. Who in this church has rubbed you up the wrong way? Don't say the name. Just lift your hand if you've been rubbed up the wrong way by someone in the church. I'll lift up everything I've got, you know. What is that? Iron sharpens iron. We become more like him in church. Why did God put you here? Because there's someone here that's going to rub you up the wrong way. It's probably going to be me at some point. And then you're going to go, or you can go, God, why am I getting rubbed up the wrong way by this person? Why does that person irritate me? Why does that person frustrate me? Why does that person press all my buttons? It's not the person. Something in you that's still alive. Something in you. It's hectic, eh? That so much of us is still in us. What do you need to die today to? What is the thing that you need to die? And the reason why we die is to produce fruit. What is the fruit that we need to produce? Righteousness. Fruit of the Spirit, righteousness, peace, joy. It's not by working of our own. Because as we die, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. And he does those things. But when we step out in flesh, when we step out of Jesus into the flesh, because that's what we're actually doing. We're stepping out of him. All of a sudden, there's anger, there's malice, there's wrath, there's sexual immorality, there's all these things. But when we remain in Him, and the desires of my heart is, God, I so badly want to swear right now. I so badly want to look at that woman. God, come and change my desires. I die today. I choose You today. I choose life. Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I felt this week as I read that scripture, I felt the Lord say, what is your house? And don't think about your wife and your kids. In Corinthians, it speaks about our body becomes a house, a temple of the Holy Spirit. As for me and this house, we will serve the Lord. What does that mean? I lay down the things that is not of Him. I keep in step with the Spirit. I follow Him because I want to have righteousness, peace, joy, faithfulness. My wife knows the song about the fruit of the Spirit. You want to come sing it? It might be a hymn or a spiritual. It's a spiritual song. No, it's not. Who knows the song of like fruit of the Spirit? We'll send it out. There's Jackson knows it. But the kids, we teach our kids, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Does that make sense? You guys still with me? Almost, I'm landing now. So with this, we have to consider the cost. There's a cost. And I want to say this morning, Jesus comes to you and He says, are you willing to die? But consider the cost, because it will cost you everything. It's easy in an emotional, you know, and I'm not saying that when we give our lives to the Lord or we respond to the gospel, it's an emotional thing. Never let it be an emotional thing. It's actually God uses our emotions. But there's a cost that it will cost you to follow Jesus. Where's that scripture? Luke 14, verse 25 to 27. So there was a great crowd that accompanied Jesus, and He turned to them and He said, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father, his own mother, his wife, and his children, his brothers and his sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and comes after Me cannot be My disciple. So I learned a really big word, hyperbole. I said it wrong in my head about 100 times, and then I learned how to say it. Was that right, Babs? That was amazing. Eh? She's like proud of me now. Hyperbole. So that word hate is an hyperbole. Hyperbole is another way of making a strong argument against something. So Jesus doesn't say hate your wife. Okay? Doesn't say hate your children. He says, in contrast or in comparison to your love for Me, it looks like you hate your wife, your children. So it's not saying hate them, but can I be honest with you? I love Him more than my kids, more than my wife, more than anybody here. I love Him. He's my everything. He's my everything. And Jesus said that. You know how many people He offended with saying that? He turned to His disciples, half of them, more than half of them left. He turned to the others, the 12. He said, what about you guys? Aren't you going? They said, no, you've got the words of life. So Jesus might offend you this morning. But I want to encourage you, don't run, because stay in Him. Work these things through in your heart. Because what happens is, if your wife, your family, your work, your what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and he loses his soul? Unless we die, we cannot follow Him. Jesus said, Father, will You take this cup away from me? But not my will, but Your will be done. That's the first way that we can do it. How do we die? We pray that prayer daily. Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. What do You want me to do? And then this is the scripture that actually started this whole thing for me this week in Galatians 2 verse 20. Do you want to put it up quickly? It's Paul writing. And Paul writes and he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Remember we spoke about dying with Christ? I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh. So Paul doesn't say, I'm gone, I'm in heaven. He says, I'm still in the flesh, I'm still here. But the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Same thing, Paul had this wrestle in his heart of living for God, of denying himself, of going, Lord, it's not me, it's about you. And the life I now live, God, I want to live for you in faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And this, for me, this whole morning, as we started reading, the Lord is my shepherd, I do not want. God has been here, he's calling us. But I want to ask this morning, in light of everything, what area of your life is still alive? How do you know? It's the thing that you struggle with. What are you struggling with? What do you need to lay down this morning? Is it the fight for finances? Is it the fight for to be right in your marriage? Is it the fight for your kids? Is it the fight for your business? What is it that you have to lay down this morning? Say, Jesus, this area of my life is still alive. This area hasn't died yet. Because without dying completely to him, cannot live. Cannot live. And what did Jesus say? You cannot be my disciple. In this week of discipleship, this season of discipleship, this is what it's about. Following him. Being fully in him. So I want to ask, what do you need to die for this morning? I'm still killing that self-preservation thing in me all the time. I'm coming this morning saying, God, would you take that I would fear you above everything, that I won't worry what people say. I do, but I don't. I don't. I want to live for the King. I want to live for the audience of one. I want to live in such a way that you guys can walk in everything that God wants you to walk. As elders, we do this all the time. What do you need to die in? Because God has called us to lead. This morning, maybe, you know, you're sitting here and you're thinking like, this area, how do I surrender this to the Lord? And it's hard. Don't take it away. It's hard, man. But by faith, we can come to him and say, God, I give you this. So I'm going to land there. And I do think we wanted to do communion, but we don't have the cups. That's crazy, eh? So we're going to drink out of the bottle. No, I'm just joking. Just lost half the people there. No, I'm just joking. So I don't want us to be religious. Do we have extra cups? Even if we've got cups, do we have cups? No juice. Who's got water here? Okay, if you've got water. If not, there's some cups. We're going to fill it with water or juice. Doesn't have to be juice. Don't have to become religious that it has to be red to symbolize Jesus' blood. But I want us to have communion, but with this in mind. Jesus said, when we come together, we consider him, what he's done for us. And Jesus even said, unless you eat of my body, and again, it's not cannibalism for anybody that's here. It's actually just going, God, I want you to be everything in my life. And for each one of us today, as we do that, go, God, this area in my life, I'm giving it to you. I'm trusting you. I'm dying to myself. I'm going to stop fighting. Where's that scripture that said, God fights for you? I want to say to some of us, stop fighting. Stop fighting. You're fighting God. You're fighting God. You're fighting God in your finances. You're fighting God in your marriage. You're fighting God. Stop fighting. Give it to him. What are you trusting God for? Give it to him today. It's life. It's life today. So I don't know how it's going to work with the communion. If you've got water in a bottle and you're willing to share with someone, do that. Otherwise, there's some bread. We're going to break some bread. And as they get that ready, I first want us to pray. So let's do this. Can we close our eyes? Any of the elders, do you guys want to add anything? Okay, that's good. That's good. So it's more dying to live. You know, Jesus said that. And just to qualify, it's not just about dying, dying, dying. And yes, it is, but it isn't. Because as we die, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and through us. It actually brings freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's actually surrendering our will, our mind, our thoughts, our ideas, and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And it might not make sense in that moment, like Jesus probably stood there going, this is hectic. He actually knew what he was doing. But sometimes we come to those moments of death, and it looks like the worst thing in life. But if we do that, there's life after that. There is life. There's joy. There's peace. There's righteousness. There's all these things. That's why we die. So I want to ask us, let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes. And this morning, maybe you're here, and again, like I said, I don't care what people think about me. If I need to confess, or the Bible says, confess our sins one to another, or confess the things that we're struggling with, that's beautiful. It's actually the way of the kingdom, because once we do that, it's in the light. And I'm not going to ask anybody to confess their sins publicly. Please don't be scared. But I do want us to respond to God this morning in your heart and in your life. God knows you. He created you in your mother's womb. Before the creation of this earth was there, God knew about you in this day, in this moment. He knew you. He knew everything. He knows everything about you. He knows what you have done. He knows your heart's desires. He knows the hidden things in your life that no one knows. He knows it. He knows the little white lies. He knows the schemes. He knows the plans that you are trying to come up with. He knows your fears. And he loves you. And this morning, God has got a purpose and a plan for your life, and he wants to start. And I want to ask you this morning, as every eye is closed, maybe you're listening to this and realizing, I haven't even given my life to Jesus. But I'm seeing a people that fully devoted to him, that love him, that wants everything that he wants. And this morning, I want to say, God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on a cross for you. And the reason why he died on the cross is to take away your sins, to purify you, to make you clean, to wash you, to take your sin as far as the east is from the west. And it's not by chance that you're here this morning, because God is calling you. He is choosing you to say, come. Come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, so that I can show you life and life forevermore. And I want to say, if that's you this morning, if you're here this morning saying, that's me, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I need to give him my heart. I don't fully with him. I don't have a personal relationship with him. I don't hear his voice. I want to know him the way that I can know that I know, that I'm fully convinced that I know him and that I can spend eternity with him. If that's you this morning, you're in the right place. And I want to say, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And it's not for me. It's not so that I feel fuzzy or whatever it is, and it's yet people listen to me. It's between you and God. But Jesus said, if we acknowledge him in front of man, he will acknowledge us in front of the Father. And even that, by raising your hand this morning, you are by faith believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. And it's just an action. It's just going, God, I'm raising my hand this morning because I believe in you and I want you to take away everything that is not of you in my life. I want your peace, God. I want your joy. I want to experience your love. But there's things holding me back from that. So if that's you, your heart's pounding, your palms are sweaty, you just know God is over you. Don't you want to raise your hand? Just say, that's me. Can you pray for me this morning? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Be bold. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, lady. God bless you. Well done for being brave. Well done for standing out. Saying, God, that's me this morning. I want to give you my life. Is there anybody else? So I'd love for us to do this. If you have come with someone, don't you want to just put your hand on them? Or there's some leaders at the back that saw you lift your hand. So I want to ask them maybe just to come around you. Because I want to pray with you. I want to lead you in a prayer this morning. It's called the prayer of repentance. Where we just repent about our sin. But God helps us. And that God comes and we ask Him to come into our life. And to take away our sins. So, and I want all of us to do this. Actually, before we take communion. But if you raised your hand, and afterwards, I want to ask someone to come alongside you and just come and explain a little bit more. Talk to someone to just to explain what you've done. And actually, maybe even for you to share your heart of why you raised your hand. Because God puts you into family. So let's close our eyes and we're going to pray now. Okay, so I want to ask those that lifted their hands, just pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, okay, let's all say it together. Lord Jesus, I come before you today. I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess that I have done wrong against you, God. And this morning, I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin, to come and cleanse me, to purify me, to take my sin as far as the east is from the west. I believe this morning that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, and that your blood was shed for me. Come and live in me, Jesus. Be my everything. Today I die to myself, and I ask you to live in me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Can we give those guys a hand? That's amazing. You know, the Bible actually speaks about, for you that have responded, the Bible actually says that heaven stops in moments like these, and angels rejoice for one sinner that comes to God. So well done. We'd love to walk a road with you. We'd love to explain a little bit more. I know some of you are visiting for the first time. Some of you have been visiting us. So I really want to ask, this is the one thing. Tell someone what you've done. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you prayed that prayer from your heart, go to someone this morning and tell them what you did. Because if we do that, God actually, he starts that journey with us. We're actually announcing it to the heavenlies. So as the bread and everything is going around, I want to ask us as Christians, what do you need to die? What needs to die in you? Has everybody got something? Okay? Who doesn't have something? Because I can maybe tell you what it is. I'm just joking. Or I can ask your wife what it is, or your husband or a friend. Okay. So I don't want us to be... I actually want us to take this seriously. Consider what you're doing. You are saying, Jesus, today I'm giving you this. I'm laying down my life in this area for you. And then I want to ask you to start trusting Him to walk in that area. So as the bread goes around, can we just do this? Let's just trust God now. So think, have that what you're wanting to do. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. But you lay down that area and make a choice today. And the same counts for you. Whatever you're trusting or you're saying now, God, I'm laying this down. I'm dying in this area. I want you to share it not just with your wife or your husband or your mom or dad. I want you to share it with a leader. You know why? Because God wants you to walk it out. in accountability, in openness. More than that, we want to help you, man. That's why we're here, is to help every single person to walk out the journey that God has somehow chosen us for a time like this here in Melkbos to walk with you. So please go share. Don't all come and share it with me. If you're in a community, share it with your community leader or a deacon or another elder. You're welcome to come share it with me as well. But that's why we're here, man. God's put us into family. So don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Live in the light. Because that's how we have true fellowship with one another and with Him, is in the light. Okay, so let's do this. Let's close our eyes before we break bread. If the bread's coming, okay, maybe, has everybody got a piece of bread and the water before we, oh, thanks. There we go. I'm not scared. If anybody wants to share my water, I don't mind. Even if you cough, it's okay. Has everybody got a bread and some juice and water? Anybody need? Just raise your hand if you need. Okay, it's coming. Okay, there's some water. Okay. Let's just wait 5 seconds. That's okay. We don't have to rush. Ooh, you want another piece? I'll have that piece. 5 second rule. Okay. You guys okay at the back there? Eating bread already? That's good. Okay. That's always the thing. You're like, when do you eat? Have you ever wondered that? Like, when do I eat? Do I wait for someone to tell me? Do I, you know? We don't have to be religious about it. Like, what it is as you take this bread, say, Jesus, your body was broken for me. I'm remembering what you've done for me, that you died on the cross for me. And as I drink the juice, I do the same. But I think first, before we go, what is that you need to lay down this morning? And you need to say to Jesus, I'm dying in this area. So let's close our eyes. Lord, as your people, we stand before you today, God. We bring our hearts before you, Lord. We bring our lives before you. We bring every aspect of who we are in front of you, Jesus. Like one of the Psalms said this morning, God, come and search our hearts, Lord. Search our minds, God. Search our lives, Lord. We this morning want to bring every area of who we are to you, God. And this morning, Lord, we want to lay down those things that so easily come and grab our attention, that grabs our heart, Lord. The things of this world that pulls us away from you, Lord Jesus. Our desires that are not lined up with your will for our lives, God. Our attitudes, Lord. Our opinions, God. The way we live our lives, Lord. The sins that we so easily sometimes do, but we bring that to you this morning, Jesus. We lay it at your feet, God. Say, come and forgive us, Lord. Come cleanse us. And we choose today to be a people, God, that says in this place, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We choose today, God, to die to ourselves, to deny ourselves the things of this world, God. We hate the things of this world, Lord Jesus. And we say, come and live within us today, God. Abide in us, Lord. Holy Spirit, come fill us up. Even now, just come and remove what is not of you, God. Take it away, Lord Jesus. Purify us. Cleanse us. Come live within us, God. As we eat of this bread this morning, remembering what you've done for us, and as we drink of the water, whatever it is that symbolizes your blood that washes us, God, come and do it within us. Supernaturally this morning, God, that we will be a people that says we serve God no matter what. And from this moment, God, I pray that our lives will reflect that people will look at us Monday to Sunday and say, what's different? You don't live for yourself, you live for the King of Kings. How do you do it? and that we will be a people that will reflect your glory wherever we go, God. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Go for it. Eat the bread. Drink the blood. Sit in the presence of God. I feel for some of us that God is busy washing our lives. Just sit in God's presence. Feel for some, God is saying, I love you. I'm with you. I'm for you. I'm fighting for you. Just keep on surrendering. Just keep on giving your heart to Him. Thank you, Lord. There's a scripture in the Bible that Jesus says, and He says, come to me, all who are thirsty, and I will give you water to drink, bread to eat, but then it goes on and it says, ask of me anything and I will give it to you. And again, we don't ask God for Ferraris and stuff like that. But I feel right now, that I feel there's faith in this room to ask God, what are you trusting God for? I want you to ask Him. Ask and you will receive, the Bible says. Ask. So I want you to ask God. Ask God. God, what are you trusting God for? Whatever it is, ask Him this morning. He's your dad. He knows what you need. But ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him. Don't be scared. Ask Him for the impossible. Ask Him for something that you know you're risking with God right now. Is it healing? Ask Him. Miracles? What miracle are you trusting God for? In your relationships? In your finances? In your business? With your kids? For the church? What are you asking God for? Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask the most dead person in this room to pray for us. James, come close for us in prayer. Keep on dying. How's your heart this morning? Is it good? Any of the elders want to add something? John? You guys want to go home? Who's enjoying God's presence? Okay, we do have kids. Let's maybe just wait for another second. James, come pray for us.
Let's pray. But for some reason, I'm very nervous to pray, and I don't know why. I think that dream from Amy made me a little nervous, that whole thing of just ticking a box. And I'm going to try my best not to just tick a box on the ending prayer. Can you guys also do the same thing? that you don't just close your eyes and wait for the amen and we all go home, but let's maybe stand together. And can I ask that we really focus on Jesus? Father, we come before you this morning as a family put together by you. We are put here by you, Lord. And my prayer, God, is that, or our prayer, God, is that we would honor you with our lives fully, Lord. As we ate of the body of Jesus and drank of the blood, Lord, the blood and the body that was shattered and shed for us so that we can be here, Lord, I pray that we would live our lives in honor of you. And that we would not have an opinion in this world, we would not have our own life in this world, but Lord, that we would die and that the Jesus within us would rise, Lord God, and that we'd be a people that rise up by your Holy Spirit. Even right now, Lord, I pray that you would lead us. Just as I followed Barent, Lord, help us to follow you so that we can confess our sins and we can get through some of these, the things of the world, so we can honor you with our lives, Lord. And so we just pray that you would lead us and help us to be a crazy people this next week for you, Jesus. Not to be a tame people. Holy Spirit, would you spark a fire in this place and set us alight? In Jesus' name, amen.